Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
Nah, Jesus.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on that cowboy.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black dude, holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit!
Pump day!
It is Wednesday, August 28, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, Jay Cadmore. I'm back after taking last week off. I got a lot to talk about tonight. Let me turn off my air conditioner right quick. I got a lot to talk about. I guess I'll just start off, you know, with why I didn't do a show last week, what's been going on with me, etc. Last week, I really started stepping my game up, you know, more so than I was as far as, like, the different things that I'm doing to try to prepare for this October, the Tough Mudder thing. So, Monday and Tuesday, I had severe badass workouts. I was really happy with what I did in the gym, like, everything I worked out. The next day, that shit was fucking sore as hell, but, like, I didn't feel like I pulled anything. I didn't feel like I was, it felt like I did everything right. I mean, that's probably the best way I could put it. And I'm I'm not perfect with this old gym routine. I'm nowhere near, you know, what a lot of other cats are out there. You know, these gym heads, I mean, these guys are, you know, leagues above me. These cats have been, you know, strictly on, you know, their weekly and this and this. So I'm trying to, you know, step my game up more and more and get myself in there, you know, to be more right that way. And then, you know, the running too, I'm trying to step up. So actually, let me rewind a little bit that, the Saturday before SummerSlam. So you figure did the show on Wednesday. So it'd be the Saturday after the last show I did. I decided I came home again, fucking pretty amped up over work and shit, I was going to crush my last run. And yeah, my last run I think was like 15.15 or some shit like this. So this one I went out and I was definitely gonna crush it. So I did. And I ran 20K plus. Let me see if I could actually pull it up on my Facebook, see what it was. Because this is half the reason I reported on Facebook, of course. You know, I love the response to it. I kind of, it's like the only way I actually have it, like, written down somewhere. So when I could go back in that and I could look and go, oh, okay, well, that's what it was. Because I don't have any type of log. Maybe I should. I don't know. But that's cool. This is working really slow right now. So let me see if I could do it on the computer. That's a tablet and the thing, as usual. I'm always right on point with the computer being nice and slow. So that way I can repeat the same thing I do normally because, you know, who wants to hear original content? All right, let me see. A lot of Niner talk. And I'll definitely chip into some of that. Let me see. Yeah, bear with me for a second. I know this is a pain in the ass. All right. I'm going pretty far back here. All right. There it is. I did 20. Okay, that was the 13th. I did 20K, 20.61K, and it was an hour and 45 minutes. And, yeah, I mean, I fucking went out. I mean, this time I definitely hit up the water for sure. I wasn't laying off of that. But, so, yeah, 20K, because I figure, and I think that was like nine miles, some shit like that. It was like, I want to say 9 miles. No, more than that, 12 miles. 12 miles, that's what it was. For some reason, I can't find that post. I could find the one I did 15, and then I could find the picture I took of the 20K thing, but I can't find where I actually typed out that I did the thing. So anyway, yeah, it was a 20K, and I think that comes out to like 12 miles or something else. Yeah, that's what it was, because I remember – The Tough Mudder is listed at like 10 to 12 miles, something like that. So I felt good, like I wanted to at least do the distance it was. Obviously, no obstacles, but it was definitely satisfying to do that amount of distance. I mean, that's a lot of fucking distance. I was definitely thrilled with that. So I did that on the Saturday. Watched SummerSlam on Sunday, which I will definitely be covering. Then Monday and Tuesday, like I said, went in, had real good gym workouts. Wednesday came where I was supposed to do the show. So, you know, I took off the gym. I was going to do Monday, Tuesday gym, and then see what I could do Wednesday or Thursday, Friday. I came home, my computer was completely froze up, like restarted it, tried doing everything. I couldn't get like any internet connection. Like the connection was slow as hell on my iPad, on my computer, everything. It was just like, it was going nowhere. So it actually took me like 40 minutes just to, because once I decided I wasn't going to do the show, it took me like 40 minutes to actually post it. Like I would try posting it and that little fucking wheel would just keep spinning and shit. I'd get like halfway through the sentences and the fucking, the words would just stop and shit. And I was like, what the fuck? It was like, you know, one sentence I was trying to just type out and the shit couldn't even get through it. So it was a pain in the ass. And, you know, by the time like I actually got the shit working, I wasn't trying to whip everything together and do it. So that's why I skipped doing the show last week. So that's that. Then I went back to the gym Thursday, had another great workout. Friday was kind of beat. I was just like, all right, you know, so I skipped that one. Then Saturday I went before work and did a 5K race. And so it was like, you know, 9 a.m, went there. This is the first straight up 5K, you know, competitive race that I've done since the one I did in June. It was like a run in the pines for the canines or some shit had to do with my job. So it was, you know, that was just like a straight, you know, 5K run. All the other stuff I did, then I did the Foam Fest, but that was, you know, it was obstacles and it really wasn't like a time situation. I did, you know, Warrior Dash. That's a time situation, but you're also talking a whole shitload of obstacles and stuff. So as far as like a straight up 5K run, you know, I've done your 10s and your 20s just by myself, but not really like a competitive race since the one I did in June. The one I did in June, I think my time was like 26.26 or something like that, something in that range. This one I got done in 24 minutes and 7 seconds. So I cut more than 2 minutes off of my, you know, my 5K time. And that shit is like a 7.5 minute mile, which to me is fucking crazy. I mean, that's, they say like anything under a 9 minute mile is good. And for a while I was doing, I'd run like the neighborhood thing and I'd try to hit about a mile. And normally I would hit a pretty consistent 8.5. And this is a whole minute faster than that. So that's, to me, is crazy as hell. I did like, I came in like 90th out of like 350 something, which is cool because, again, I only started running a couple months ago. So to me, it's like any bit of progress like that is really impressive to me. My lungs were fucked up. Like I just, they weren't having it. It was kind of humid. But the temperature wasn't bothering me that much. It was just, I don't know, for whatever reason, the lungs weren't working right, but still got through it, you know, at that 24 minutes. I was really happy with that. You know, that's what that is. Then what happened next? So that's it. I hit the gym Monday. I couldn't go back to the gym because I had had to come home, watch the kids, and had to go over to the orientation for the oldest one, who will be 10 next week, which is crazy. So I couldn't go there. And I went yesterday, had a good workout and stuff like that. So I'm gonna go back tomorrow and Friday. Definitely hit that hard. And then Saturday I got another 5K race. This one's at like 8 a.m. at another town over here. So another 5K race there. The following week I'm going to do another 5K race, like 9 a.m. LBI. That's like, that's on a Sunday though. So like opening weekend of football, I'm going to be up and at it at like, you know, 9 a.m. running a 5K. Then I have to come home. I don't know. Maybe I could get in some kind of nap or some shit. Because by the time the Niner game comes on, it's 4:30. I'm going to be tired. But I can't possibly be tired, you know, Niner game time, fucking week one. So I'll figure it out. But either way, I'm definitely enjoying, like, the progress I'm making. Definitely getting, like I said, big workouts in. The runs are just getting better and better. And then, you know, just focusing on this tough mudder. Actually, Sunday, Monday will be a month, or not a month, 2 months of me not drinking. So that's a long time, you know, and, definitely, you know, focusing on a positive route here. So that's that. Let me see, cause I got a bunch of topics. I'm trying to figure out exactly where I want to go first. I think I'll probably jump into the SummerSlam thing. I got the AGT results thing on my America's Got Talent results show on my TV. I would have watched America's Got Talent last night, but my fucking DVR is a piece of shit, and it just decides, like, say, you know, you'll set it. Okay, you know, tape this shit for me. Be like, all right. And then it'll go, oh, man, I was going to tape that. And then the phone rang. I went, you know, and I went hung out with those dudes instead. I found some other plans and shit, and like it just does its own shit. You know, you'll set it and be like, all right, I need this taped and that taped. The next day you'd be like, where the fuck is this shit? And you're looking, oh yeah, it was scheduled to tape. And like just no examples, no excuse, nothing. Just like it just found some other shit to do. So I don't have any fucking clue what happened. But I did get Madden yesterday. Madden came out. And I played two games and I got fucking housed. Man, last week I was playing Madden, the old one, meaning last year's. And man, I by the end of the year I became pretty much on point. I had my game plan and I surely wasn't unbeatable, but I had a pretty solid game plan and playing my game, I'd be badass on the pass defense. Had a good pass rush, was able to run decent running game. Not the best running game, that I've seen in Madden by far. But I had a good, passing game, kind of West Coast offense. Screen passes over the middle. This type of thing, chipping up the field and doing pretty good at it. So I was pretty solid at that type of stuff. This one, man, this one has got – they switched every fucking thing up. The game is it's going to be great, and I'm sure I'll adjust to it, but it's like learning to play all over again. So you go from, like, having some definite decent skill and be able to kind of hang with most people, and then you just turn this shit on, and it's like, oh, wow, I'm fucking horrible now. So I got a huge learning curve. The buttons are all the same, but as far as like the feel and control and shit, it's way different, way different. The tackling, just the movement of the guys overall. I guess they have a little more of a sensitive cut on them. And they tend to do a little bit more rap tackling than they do just plain hits. Which I guess is more accurate because, in the NFL, not everybody's just getting laid out every hit. It's more, pull down, rap tackling, that type of thing. So I guess a little more accurate. Like I said, I'll get used to it, but it's going to be a little bit of a building process to, get my game back. Some people pick up on this shit quicker than others, and I'm not one of them so quick with the new shit. So I'll probably be a little behind the curve with these other cats that are quick with it. But, either way, it's really the only video game I play anymore. I kind of lost interest in video games. I got a PS3 that I used to play fucking DVDs and Blu-rays and just Madden. That's pretty much it. Call of Duties and shit, I played my share of them in this time, but I was never the best at them. And I really could give a fuck about Call of Duty. I just couldn't get into it enough to deal with these especially the kids during the summertime. These motherfuckers play like 8 hours worth of shit. They got like the best fucking guns. You come home after like 9 hours at your job, and these motherfuckers got like 10 hours fucking packed in already. These motherfuckers are doing like veteran status. Like they're running around like fucking trained animals, and you're just like, yo, I'm trying to get a little time in here and fucking, I don't know, man. When I was a kid, too, like, you played the fuck out some Mario Brothers for, 6 hours until your fucking Nintendo started blinking and shit, and you had to pull the game out and blow on it. You'd have to, pause it because, it's dinner time and go back to it. So I understand, but now it's like these little motherfuckers are playing against you online, and it's a whole other fucking world. But anyway, so I get tired of that shit. The WWE games are pretty good. The last one I got, I really didn't even play that much. I think it was the last one that came out. I got it, had maybe a couple weeks that I was into it and played it and shit, and then it just lost interest. Not that it wasn't good or anything, I just lost interest. So a lot of people are talking about the roster on this new one and shit, and it's cool. It's pretty badass. I mean, they got, King Kong Bundy, fucking Big John Studd, like a lot of old school shit in there, which is cool, but I can't imagine I'm going to be into it for more than 2-3 weeks, so fuck it. Speaking of that, they had a press conference type thing where it was like a panel, and they had Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think Dolph Ziggler, Mick Foley, Daniel Bryan, I want to say that's it, and Ric Flair, and it was like hosted by JR. And they asked some questions, and they would go down the panel and shit. And Ric Flair was just fucking drunk as shit. And if you catch it, it's like a probably 40-minute video or something like that. But you'll catch towards the end. And Flair's just going off, like telling stories. Like he didn't give a fuck why they were there. Like his shit went completely off the rails and weren't talking shit about the game at all. And they were just like, and it was funny as hell. It was actually the only reason it was entertaining is because Flair was just off the chain. Apparently WWE got really mad at him about it. The game company that hired him, I guess EA or whoever, EA or because there is no more THQ. So yeah, I guess it's like EA Sports or whatever. They were fine with it. They were like, whatever, you know, caused a buzz, had people talking. I'm sure people, you know, scoop up the game either way. And WWE was kind of mad at him, so I don't know what the repercussions of that's going to be. But yeah, he was banged the fuck up. He followed that with doing two, I think like the next day he did like a two-part Stone Cold Steve Austin show, which I got through some of the first one. But I mean, Flair tells some great stories. He's one of these dudes, like he's such a veteran, you know, questionably possibly the best wrestler to ever, you know, wrestle. I mean, the, you know, greatest ever possibly. You know, a lot of people have, you know, different opinions on that, and I mean, he's very possibly the dude, but, you know, his stories are ridiculous. I mean, a guy who was, you know, wrestling Bruiser Brody, a guy who's, you know, just done tremendous amount of shit, has been in the business for so, so fucking long. His stories are just endless. And he's just like a fucking drunk dude who just like, just gets banged up at a bar and just rambles his stories on and on and on and doesn't really give a fuck. So he's kind of like a perfect guy to like lay some of these stories out, because he's not trying to bury anybody and he's not trying to really protect anybody. So he's just kind of being real, you know what I mean? And he tells some pretty good stories and stuff. So I would definitely, if you get a chance, check out those Stone Cold Steve Austin podcasts. I have to go back and actually listen to, you know, both full parts, because I got through part of one. I was either running or doing some shit, so I switched on to something else. But yeah, check them out. Flair is fucking classic. Anyway, I guess I want to talk about the SummerSlam card a little bit. Started off with Rob Van Dam and Dean Ambrose in a pre-show dark match situation. So, you know, they went to a DQ, which to me is kind of corny. I mean, at this point, to line the Shield up, or, you know, a Shield member up in a match and then have the Shield just run in and make it a DQ is kind of played out, because, you know, they've been jumping motherfuckers for how long? You know, it's kind of played out to just send them in the ring. It's like, oh, you know, and a lot of people were buzzing for that match, annoyed that it was a dark match. And then on top of that, just be like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and fuck that over. So, I mean, it was all right for what it was, but they clearly didn't want it to shine too much. They, you know, cut it short with the DQ and beyond that. Like, they didn't want that shit to live up to some crazy expectations. They just wanted it to be a filler dark match type thing. So, no change of a title, DQ, blah, 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 move on. So that's what they did with it. So, it was all right for what it is. Next up, the show started, and they did Bray Wyatt versus Kane in a Ring of Fire match. Effect-wise, this was good. Match-wise, just to me, is garbage. I mean, it was just really, really basic. They did a lot of, like, spotlighting, like, oh, you're never going to see a style of wrestling like Bray Wyatt. You're never going to see something like this guy's done. He does a whole nother different thing in the ring. And then, you know, obviously because they're trying to spotlight the effects on the ring with the fire popping up, you know, when they hit the mat, they were doing basic stuff. You know, your suplex, boom, flare up of the fire, you know, a body slam, flare up the fire, you know, backdrop, you know, all this shit. Like every time, like the fire would flare up, that's what they were doing. And, you know, they ended up working. Gimmick-wise, they worked it all right with the rest of the Wyatt family doing everything they can to get in past the fire. and then end up beating Kane down and, you know, getting a win, and then they kidnapped Kane and shit like this. So, you know, I guess you could do without it. Effect-wise, it was cool. I don't know. I don't even know, like, a good way to pull that match off as a whole. I think it went in with too much expectations of what was Bray Wyatt going to do, because they kind of put that mystery around what his style was and what he was about and stuff. You know, and the dude's worked matches before, and if you've watched NXT, he's been working, so you kind of knew what he was doing. It's weird because WWE does that thing where NXT is part of their brand, but when a guy comes up from NXT, they act like, you've never seen anything like this guy before. And it's like, well, actually, we watch NXT and we've seen this guy last week. He was on TV. But, you know, I guess they associate themselves and detach themselves from that and try to just reinvent guys when they actually make it onto the big stage, which I understand for a certain amount, to a certain extent. You don't want to just try a continuation off of NXT, because the people who aren't watching it, it's going to look goofy. So I do understand that. But you know, it was just a little off because of, you know, the whole gimmick and everything. But, and Kane, really, his final run should have just been the thing with, Daniel Bryan. Even if they wanted to give, him and Daniel Bryan, turn it off, let him and Daniel Bryan feud for like a month or two after they broke it off. Do that and call it fucking quits. Kane stopped being a credible monster a long time ago. When they teamed up with Daniel Bryan, he was a good odd couple guy, but he didn't go into that as still like scary Kane, like, oh, everybody scatters and you believe that he's, I mean, he's got his five fucking moves and that's that. I mean, they've kind of evolved past that, especially when you got a guy who's supposed to be scary and this and that, and then you got Ryback in here ripping guys' heads off and beating two guys at a time. Well, Kane's fucking fire hits and he slowly walks to the ring and he's got a choke slam in his arsenal. Well, you know, maybe the monster isn't, you know, so believable anymore. It's, you know, just, it's kind of played out. So the fact that they tried to, you know, move off the Daniel Bryan thing back to Kane being a monster, and then, of course, immediately just get completely bitched out by the Wyatt family. I don't know where you go from there. And, you know, they're kind of teasing, well, he's obviously going to be out for a little bit because of filming the See No Evil 2 or whatever. They're kind of teasing, like, he might be part of the Wyatts now, or, you know, they have him, and he's where he belongs, and this and this. If he was where he belonged, he'd just be fucking retired and put in the Hall of Fame, and that'd be the end of that, you know. That's where he belongs, so I don't know if the Wyatts are doing that, but let's hope so. Because you're not bringing him back, reinventing him as a monster. I mean, if you make him part of the Wyatt thing, it'll work for what it is, but he's still interchangeable with anybody. I mean, you could put fucking Luke Gallows in Kane's spot, throw him in the Wyatt family, and be like, all right, well, this'll do. Big fucking dude, he's, you know, there he goes. He's not going to make any difference. He's not like an X factor or something. You're gonna, now the Y family's dangerous. It's like, no one's going to. And Kane walking around with that fucking same old stupid fucking Kane mask in the Wyatt family, he's just going to look like a fucking, you know, like a video game tag team. Just be like, oh, here's all these guys that look that way. And then Kane. It's like when they, in TNA, where they have the main event Mafia, and then Rampage Jackson's out there in a fucking Mr. T chain and fucking cut off t-shirt. Like, yeah, well, clearly one of these things is not like the other, like the fucking Sesame Street says. So, you know, whatever. Do what you will with Kane, but let's please wrap this up, because it's just not going to go positively anymore. We have enough stars here. He's done enough. It's fine. We can move on. Then you had Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow. This was all right. I kind of needed to recover a little bit from the last thing, so I wasn't paying full attention to this. It was good. Cody Rhodes won. That's that. Again, we're going so far back, and I'm trying to remember. I think I might have wrote notes at that point, but where I put them at this point, I don't even know. Let's see. Is this my notebook? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't even know where I wrote anything down if I did. But, yeah. Anyway, Del Rio and Christian. Great match. Like I said, Christian is really, he's a really solid dude. He puts on good matches. If the guys are capable of putting on good matches with him, he's the type of guy who's not going to make a lot of mistakes. He's pretty clutch that way. He's not going to make the match, but he's not going to break the match. He'll kind of hold a match together too, if it's, you know, if it's got some possibilities to it. So, you know, it was definitely a good match. Del Rio retained, and that's that. Natalya versus Brie Bella. Natalya wins. I don't know what the fuck they're doing with this Divas division, but it couldn't be least interesting. It really couldn't be any less interesting than it is right now. And I'll touch on a little bit of that when we go to, like, this week's Raw, which I'm not going to do, like, some full review on. But when I'm done with this pay-per-view, I don't want to jump around too much. I don't think anybody really cares. I really, really don't. If they do, they don't. Next up was, my opinion, definitely match of the night. Brock Lesnar beating CM Punk. The match had everything. It was no DQ, so they brawled all over the place. Punk took an ass whooping. He gave all sorts of, you know, offense back to Brock, and Brock really worked hard. You know, a lot of people were giving him credit online too, and they're absolutely right. Brock has a certain amount of matches he's supposed to work under this contract, and he really, I mean, he could just work this match, cash his check, go home. He really doesn't have to put in above and beyond effort, and I feel like he really did in this match. Really, really great shit. Another real classic CM Punk match. Fantastic stuff. I want to take just a quick stoppage right here because I did pull the clip of Chris Dickinson speaking his opinion on CM Punk. And I just wanted to play this because, to me, you know, seeing a match like that put on and this guy, you know, he said what he said, and it's one of those things you just don't forget. So for anyone who didn't actually hear what Chris Dickinson had said on the Uncle Mike and Tom show, that's it. This is the clip of what he said, and, you know, they're agreeing with him and everything like that. So, I mean, just check this out, and then we'll continue with the next.
CM Punk, he's garbage. Like, he looks like trash, absolute trash. He wrestles like fucking shit. Like, you know, like, I mean, he's just, like, everything about, like, that guy, and it's just, like, so, like, half-assed. Like, I mean, are you guys, like, CM Punk fans? Like, am I my blues and brownie points with you, or?
You know, everybody has their own opinion, you know. I have mixed feelings on Punk. I think he's one of the best promos in the business.
We've seen him right from his beginning.
Yeah, I think his in-ring's overrated, personally, but who am I to say anything, you know?
No, absolutely. It's just for what the representation of, like, the superstar wrestler is in 2013 as opposed to, like, 1999, as opposed to 1992, as opposed to, like, 1986. It's like, yeah, that's, like, what they're presenting to us now. It's like, what the fuck happened? You know what I mean? It's like, oh, man, I don't really get this at all. It's just totally, I didn't like CM Punk when he was in Ring of Honor. I thought it sucked then, too. I just never was into it. And, I'm not like taking anything away from the guy. Good for him, you know. I'm just saying that's like not where the kind of wrestling that that's not like the kind of wrestler that I aspire to be like, you know.
So yeah, that's his opinion there. You know, and he's entitled to that. But again, a guy who's, you know, trying to pride himself on you know, Japanese style, and you know, talks a lot about how much he respects, like, a guy like Homicide, and how much he likes Loki, and this guy, and that guy. Mentions a lot of indie guys who he's got a whole lot of respect for, and he likes their style, and he likes this and that. A guy who's a complete peer amongst those guys, and everybody in that same group that he's given respect to would give 100% to CM Punk, as well as how hard he works and, you know, what he's able to do in the ring and everything. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I can't respect that opinion. And, you know, he puts it out there like, oh, am I losing brownie points? You guys CM Punk fans? And, of course, they just, like, fucking smooch ass because, oh, no, he's, you know, he's overrated and, you know, whatever. And it's not like I hear something like that and I'm like, oh, he doesn't like CM Punk. Fuck that guy. It's just like I feel like the, you know, actually saying the dude is garbage in the ring, he wrestles like shit, like that's a brave statement. That really is. So I just figured I wanted to play it out, put that out there, because especially like, you know, when you see like a really good CM Punk match, you know, a match on pay-per-view that everybody has nothing but good shit to say about, first thing you think is like, well, not everybody. First thing I thought was like, huh, I wonder what the fucking this guy thinks about this. And, you know, obviously it's not the first good CM Punk match that he's wrestled. Some of his matches with Cena were fucking bananas, you know, and Cena's not known for fucking wowing the internet crowd, and people were all over those matches. And so many different good matches he's had. And, you know, well, like he said, even the Ring of Honor, he thought he was trash. So, whatever. Is what it is. But I love the match. I really, really think they need to one of two things. They need to either get another one of these matches done before WrestleMania, and then have Punk win that, and then really heat up the feud leading towards WrestleMania. One of the two guys have to get the title. I would say Brock gets the title. Brock gets the title somewhere between here and WrestleMania. Punk gets the win over him before he gets the title. And then we somehow, you know, go into WrestleMania with the rubber match of Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, world title on the line, or, you know, WWE title on the line. That I think would be, you know, the best way possible. And that match is not going to upset. So you put that on WrestleMania and I think you got a really, really good, good show there, you know, at least as far as that match goes and your world title match goes, that's going to be on point. John Cena out 4 to 6 months. Everybody saw his, you know, his fucking football on his fucking elbow. I mean, that shit was fucking nutty. He said he tore a tricep, and that's you know, built up the fluid in his elbow, and that was that. And I got to give the guy 1,000,000% credit for what, you know, he's been working through, because he, you know, he worked through that match with Daniel Bryan, which is a great match. I'm skipping ahead a little bit. But, yeah, he deserves credit for it. I'll get back to it. Next up, you had Dolph Ziggler and Caitlyn beat Big E Langston and AJ Lee. Here's my thoughts on this. I think the problem that they did with Big E Langston, because what's happening now is everybody was begging for Dolph Ziggler to be a face. Everyone wanted this guy to turn face. And the problem is now that they have turned him face, they have him stuck in a feud with Big E Langston. And Big E Langston was never a big enough player to work like a one-on-one feud with such a super over Dolph Ziggler. To me, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't make a lot of sense for those two to be feuding at the status of where Big E Langston is. To me, I feel like what they could have done to make it more, and they started to, but I think what they could have done to make it more credible is while they had Big E Langston with Dolph Ziggler and AJ for all that time, make him more of a, just like a train killer, like a 3-minute warning, and always have AJ sicking him on people. And just make him brutal. Make him, like, relentless, brutal, everything. And have him – there was a time where Del Rio was face, and Ziggler was heel. During that time, he should have just went out there while Ziggler or while Del Rio was having a match, you know, stood at the top of the entranceway, had AJ point, fucking go get him and point it at Rodriguez. At what's his face? Ricardo. You know, you point at Ricardo and have Langston just go fucking toss him around and destroy him. And then they just walk off. And Del Rio be all fucked up like, dude, they just destroyed my guy. You know, have you know, one of the announcers say something, the commentators say something that they don't like. Have them just go out and just fucking execute that dude. Go throw fucking King into the audience or just launch fucking Michael Cole somewhere. Just you know, manhandle him, fucking throw him through his table or something. Do this type of thing where he's just destroying everybody. And don't put him anywhere near, like, contenders. You know, have him squash a bunch of jobbers, have him just destroy, you know, kind of a mix of, like, the three-minute warning and what Ryback's doing now. Have him just fucking wreck shit. Like, have him, run a segment where you saw, you know, the three of them talking in the back and, you know, some guy with a headset on, let it be Drake, let it be whoever, you know, say something and have AJ go, hold on a minute. Big E, get this guy and have him just brutalize him for no reason. Just taking people out and have him, like I said, don't let him run into any contenders. So you really don't have him tested. You know, you don't have him up against someone where, you know, the win-loss thing is being tweaked at all. He's just a killer. So then when the whole turn happens and Ziggler leaves, then you have AJ turn this killer on Dolph. So although the guy hasn't really faced anybody and he's not being pushed to the moon that much, it's more credible that, oh, fuck, Dolph's got to get out of the clutches of this fucking guy. Instead of the guy just more or less being a mid-card guy that was with Dolph and wrestling guys and this and that. And now it's like supposed to be believable that they're kind of on the same level, which is crazy. So I don't know. For some reason, I just think that way of doing things would make it look better. Now, me and many, many other people just can't wait till this fucking thing's over and Ziggler can actually work, you know, matches with people you give a shit about. Because I just think, you know, stuck in a feud with Big E Langston is just like, okay, can we fucking hurry up and get him out of this fucking Big E Langston situation? Because it's just, I don't know why I'm deciding to read shit. All right. So that's just my opinion with the Big E Langston thing. I really don't think that they built him well enough that way. They could work a few different things with him once he's away from this Ziggler thing, but you can't feud this fucking Ziggler thing any longer. They need baby faces, and if he's just buried in a Big E Langston feud, Big E Langston isn't like a credible heel. AJ is, I guess. After her promo, I'm not really sure. They have this real strange idea of what they think the fans think. And they kind of work in whatever direction they want. So that's kind of how Vince has always been. It's really going to be his deal or no deal. So, yeah, whatever. Daniel Bryan went in there and beat John Cena in what I thought was a great match. Really, really well done. But you could see it a mile away. First off, there's never, in my recollection, there's never really been a special guest referee that hasn't screwed someone or got involved. I mean, that's the only reason they're there, is for them to fucking do something. Especially Triple H, really. So you knew something was going to fucking happen. And Orton's been pretty much every week coming out going, yeah, some cashing in anyway, motherfuckers. I don't give a fuck who wins. You know, so, I mean, they're telling you straight up. Then as soon as Daniel Bryan wins, Triple H raises his hand and stays in the ring. Triple H standing there in the ring, you're like, oh, it's fucking over, son. There's no way that he's walking out of there with that fucking title. No way. Why the fuck is Triple H just standing in the fucking ring with his striped shirt on? Like, yep, just fucking hanging out now. You know, the ref would normally raise the hand, fucking roll out of the ring, fucking, you know, if Triple H wanted to, you know, do a little bow move or point to him, like, yeah, that guy, fucking, that's the way he would be sending it off. The fact that he's standing in the ring, he might as well have pulled out, like, a big Wile E. Coyote sign saying, I'm screwing him, or, you know, yikes, fucking, you know, whatever, little umbrella, like, fucking about to drop the anvil on your shit. So, and then especially you even see in the foreground when, you know, on the screen you see, in the foreground you see Randy Orton, background you see Daniel Bryan standing in the ring, and Triple H is starting to walk up behind him, and it's like, I wonder what he's gonna do. You know, it's like, fucking pedigree, fucking win, fucking do. So I mean, it was very predictable and shit like this. To me, I don't have a huge problem with them not giving it to Daniel Bryan right there, because I mean, although he was completely primed and ready for it, there was nothing wrong with them giving it to him there. It's still the super baby face chasing the title that's going to keep the fans wanting them to do that. Where they're really going with it, I'm not 100% sure, because they kind of have, like, him against the world. They have no one helping him, and then they're sending out pretty much the locker room. There's not a lot of baby faces that could be helping him or bailing him out of this situation. So I'm not really sure where they're going with it, but either way, he's the fucking underdog babyface that's fucking chasing the title. So it's set up perfectly that way, and he's so fucking over. I mean, you couldn't be more happy for the dude. I don't give a fuck if he's wearing a title or if he's not. I mean, the fact that he's that over with the WWE crowd, I mean, this guy's got a fucking job for life. You know, as long as, you know, no severe injuries or any crazy shit happens, like, this guy is fucking in. Like, he's got another one of those, like, when CM Punk really solidified himself and got to the point where you're like, yeah, he's not going to be a guy that just bounces back to the indies, you know, for the rest of his career and be like, oh, they should have really did something with that guy. I mean, you never really know with the indie guys, but once they start hitting those strides and, you know, CM Punk with the long title reigns and the different guys they put him up against in the main event, you see Daniel Bryan starting to do that type of thing and really get the reaction and get the booking. You know, you see him placed in there with the big faces and constant programs with him going with the big faces. And it's just one of those, you know, solid, solid spots. So yeah, I'm happy for the dude. And like I said, I'm not too fucking upset that he didn't necessarily get the title right there. It's going to happen. That's what they're, you know, they're teasing and they're building up for the fans to follow. So that's what they're doing. Then coming off of that, hopefully it doesn't lead to fucking Triple H versus fucking Daniel Bryan. I don't know why. He's just the fucking, he's the famous version of EJ Hyde. He's the famous and no, like, name-worthy fucking version of DJ Hyde. Like, he just has to get his fucking hands on anything that's over. When Punk was super over, fucking Triple H is wrestling him, fucking anything going on, Triple H got to fuck with him. He's just got to have, like, part of their angle, or he's got to get over on him. Fucking Brock Lesnar, oh, Triple H, fucking, you know, everything's got to have some kind of surrounding part with him, like, you know, and then, you know, I think, like, the feud there, like, with Punk, I don't think Punk ever got the clean win back on him. He just fucking drifted off, like, whoa, back in the suit, all right, then, and then, you know, he just continues to do that, so it won't surprise me whatsoever. But I'd hate to see them lead it to, like, a fucking WrestleMania Triple H Daniel Bryan. Oh, fuck. But it'll probably happen. What are you going to do? Hopefully at least by then he'll have the fucking title and something. I don't know. But, you know, either way, like I said, the booking, the push, the reaction, it's a fucking win-win for Daniel Bryan, regardless of what they're doing with this title picture. Yeah, so they'll figure it out, and they're going to do what they want to do. But, you know, when a guy's getting that type of reaction, you're not really losing as a fan, because he's got fucking top spot. Speaking of, I don't know exactly what transition I was trying to make there, but top spots and pushes and this type of thing, I figure move right over to Darren Young that I didn't really get a chance to touch on this situation. Darren Young came out that he's gay on the TMZ. Now, this was the most staged thing you can possibly fucking imagine because, you know, A, he's in L.A. fucking airport, whatever they call that shit, and it's fucking, like, empty. There's, like, him and nobody behind him. You don't see fucking traffic. You don't see no type of foot traffic, nothing. You just see him in, like, an empty-ass turnstile. Like, they fucking, like, they closed off part of the fucking airport for TMZ to walk up to the dude. So, like, TMZ's there and he's there. How the fuck does, first off, TMZ even know he's a fucking wrestler? I mean, out of everybody in the WWE, he's just, like, some fucking super noteworthy guy that they're just like, oh, hey, WWE's Darren Young. It's like, really? You guys are, I mean, yeah, I know they got some wrestling fans on staff, and, you know, it's not even beyond belief that they would know that he's Darren Young, but I think it is beyond fucking belief that within two questions to be like, hey, so how you doing? Good, all right. So, hey, how do you feel about gay wrestlers succeeding? And he's like, well, it's funny you ask, because fucking happened to be gay. It's like, get the fuck out of it. All the questions in the world, show me the fucking the fucking CM Punk fucking TMZ stoppage or fucking The Rock stoppage where they're just like, hey, Dwayne Johnson, formerly The Rock of the WWE, hey, how do you feel about gay wrestlers? Like, show me anybody else they even asked that question to. Hey, Triple H, WWE superstar, what do you think about gay wrestlers? Like, what the fuck? Why would you just come out of nowhere with that? There's not, like, fucking 10 questions and then, oh, by the way, what do you think about the gay guys? Like, shit. Well, I think they're fine because, well, I'm doing all right. And I happen to be gay. He's like, get the fuck out of here. And listen, I don't got no problem with the dude being gay. Fuck it. He's gay, he's gay. I don't give a fuck. But that shit couldn't have been more set up. It's retarded. So there's that. There's also, you know, the fact that now he gets an immediate push. I don't think he's lost the match since his fucking airport fucking empty arena fucking airport coming out Iron Man match with the fucking TMZ guy, you know, but he's been undefeated since then. He's on a fucking Goldberg streak now that he came out the unstoppable gay force. So they got that, and my biggest fear, I wouldn't say biggest fear, that sounds extremely homophobic, but it's not where I'm going with this. The biggest douche move I think they could do, which I'm not really sure that they're, I don't think they're going to, but I just got like this feeling the other day and I'm like, oh, fuck. Let's just hope that never happens. This Ryback fucking bully fucking, he's not being a star. This shit, if it leads to fucking Darren Young fucking out of the closet, man, saving the day. Oh, man, I'm going to fucking break my TV. It's just too douchey. You just can't do it. You know, that's just my feelings on it. But, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, go on this. Congratulations, dude. Fucking like just congratulations for liking dudes. Like, all right. Yeah, and whatever. I mean, people shouldn't, you know, keep themselves closeted and, you know, hiding from whatever truth they're, you know, dealing with or, you know, whatever. But if it's no different to be gay and no one should judge you any different, which, you know, I would fully agree with, well, then why would you point it out to everybody? You know what I mean? Why would you, oh, by the way, I like dudes. It's like, all right. I mean, that's cool. I like different things, too, but I don't fucking, you know, I don't randomly mention to you, oh, by the way, I like chicks. It's like if you're, you know, like in my job, like, I, you know, I'm getting cats adopted and I just randomly like, hey, I just wanted to let you know what I like to do in the bedroom because just in case it bothered you, just wanted you to be on the same level here. And You know, like, it shit don't, it shouldn't even come up in conversation. Just do what you do and shit. I mean, if someone finds out, you know, hey, this guy's gay, and you started getting treated differently, then yeah, by all means, make it a public thing, and you know, let's fucking talk about it, and let's, you know, let's see what's up with the person who's treating you fucked up, because that shouldn't happen. You know, you shouldn't have to be treated, you know, wrongly or you know, anything like that. Over, you know, having a difference in, you know, sexual preference or anything like that, it doesn't make you a different thing. I don't know. I just don't like the over the top shit and then like immediate push, and then it's like, what are we congratulating? What kind of graduation present are we now giving this guy? Sorry. The Total Divas show continues to be just fucking horrendous. I mean, you can't not hate these chicks. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you can, I mean, I give you credit, but, I mean, Natalia's, she's good. The one, Funkadactyl, or, you know, she's good. The other one is such a douchebag. The one that's with the fucking stick and the fake tits in her shirt, and both Bellas are cunts. The Daniel Bryan Bella isn't as bad, but you can tell she's like one fucked up day from just being just as big of a dickhead as the other one. The other two are just fucking like plants, just like shoved in there to like be extra characters on their show. It's just such a big bag of douche. It's ridiculous. And them trying to like kind of work it into the Divas storylines and the matches and this and that. And it's funny because, you know, that's the way I feel. And that's why I feel a lot of people got to feel, looking at the way that they act and they carry themselves and this and that. They don't like carry themselves as professionals. They're completely immature and fucking just act like fucking assholes. So you can't be like, oh, I really respect the athlete that woman is. And, you know, all women should be like that because professional wrestling should be taken seriously. You know, women's professional wrestling should be taken seriously. And that is a clear example that they are just top caliber athletes. You have the, you know, to quote Joey Numbers from Wrestling Soup, you got John Cena playing the fucking Bill Cosby role, where he always comes in, you know, Bill Cosby, Dr. Phil role, where he just comes in like, well, do you think that was the right decision? I think maybe you should apologize to her for that. And it's just like, get the fuck out of here. You just had your fucking marriage break off and fucking started banging this fucking Bella. And now all of a sudden you're like the voice of reason. Fucking, oh, and I do Make-A-Wish Kid. I go to the hospital for the Make-A-Wish Kids, and I'll tell you how to handle your relationship with your father you haven't talked to. It's just like, get the fuck out of here. You're fucking killing me. So I'll hope you forgot about that unbelievably fucking mall-sized fucking house I live in, and we'll just act like I'm a down-to-earth, kind-minded gentleman. Get the fuck out of here. So so it's funny because when AJ did that thing and she came out and just destroyed the four of them, you got them, like, wrestling each other. It's like a tag situation. So you got four of them, like, faces and heels, and she just comes out and just destroys the four of them. Just fucking rips them apart about how, oh, shit. It was four or six. It might have been the whole crew. I think it was the whole crew. And she just fucking just ripped them all to fucking shreds and skipped off and shit. And it was fucking great. It was hilarious. But are people supposed to think she's a heel for doing that? Are these fucking asshole women supposed to be baby-faced that she just destroyed, and I'm supposed to go, that wasn't nice, AJ, you take that back, ah, you're so bad. Like, no, dude, like, I'm like, yeah, you're right, they are worthless cunts that are getting their 15 minutes of fame, and fucking that's about up, and yeah, they really aren't fucking accomplishing a goddamn thing in wrestling. And yeah, you have done more than every one of them in the fucking ring in a year's time. Yeah, you're fucking right. Wow, what worthless pieces of shit they are. So it's like, yeah, tune in to next week's Total Divas And then, I mean, you can't imagine them getting pushed past that. What, are they going to revolt against her? And what? No one's behind them. So I didn't really understand where they're going with that. I loved it, but it was like they completely shit on their whole fucking e-show. It was like, yeah, you know, you guys are probably getting to fucking hate these broads a lot. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take AJ out here, and we're going to have them fucking... We're going to have her just point out what pieces of shit these guys are, these chicks are, and we're just going to let her fucking walk off with the title. Like, yep, this is what a champion is, and you guys are fucking shit. And, hey, I'll see you later, guys. And I don't know. It was pretty comical. I might even watch it again before next Monday. It's pretty comical. So I think that's all the WWE business. Oh! And I don't know how people feel about this. Sin Cara calls off the match after he dislocates his finger with Del Rio. I've never dislocated my finger, and sure it hurts and this and that. But I've seen a lot of wrestlers go through a lot of brutal shit and at least finish the match. I don't think Del Rio was very happy about it at all, because he pulled him back into the ring and tried to, you know, keep it going. But I dislocated finger to just call the match. Like, no, fucking, that's it. Throw up the X, fucking. I don't know, man. I know this is, you know, Sin Cara was Triple H's fucking, that was his big move. So, like, he's really always pulled for him to come through. I really think the bloom has been off the rose on him. The guy's got injured a million times. He's botched fucking 10 million moves. He's made a lot of stuff just look like complete shit. I mean, as far as I know, I think they still have Samurai Del Sol, like, you know, down there in NXT or something, or not quite on the NXT TV, but in the developmental. So I would think, like, I'm not saying make him Sin Cara, because fuck it, move on. But you got your masked wrestler that can really wow the crowd and do amazing things and all that. You know, fucking just bring him up and send this fucking guy home. Christ sakes. What is going to be the eventual thing with Sin Cara? He's just going to one day get everything right and get over, and we're just going to forget about all the time that he blew? I really don't understand. Ted DiBiase Jr. quit the WWE to do something else or something. There you go. About the Darren Young thing, the one more thing that I wanted to mention about is Shannon Moore is an asshole. He, I think, put on his Twitter or something that it's great that they're accepting gays now. Maybe now they could accept people with tattoos. It's just like, you know what? Go fuck yourself, fucking idiot. I just... Dude, you're putting fucking tattoos on your body as a way to express yourself, as a way, because you choose to get a tattoo because you like it and that's the way you want to look. Who gives a fuck if people are accepting it? That's some shit you want to do. That's the same reason why, you know, they just like, okay, you know, certain jobs, you can't fucking have sleeved up fucking tattoos. You can't be, you know, in a fucking business suit and have a neck tattoo. Not because, oh, it's not fair, it's unacceptable. Because people won't take you fucking seriously because you have a fucking neck tattoo. That shit doesn't make any sense. You know, like, fucking Gucci man goes into a fucking business meeting with a fucking ice cream cone on his face. What the fuck you think? People are supposed to go, okay, so what do you have to say, sir? They're going to go, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? You know, it kind of speaks for some life decisions. Now, if you choose, hey, man, I'm going to do what I want. People are going to judge me however they're going to judge me, but fuck it. This is what I want to do. It'll be fine for what I'm trying to accomplish. It has, you know, it's not going to take me down. It's not going to, you know, swing me in one direction or another. That's your decision to do it. But you can't just decide that it's the same thing as being gay. And now, well, I'd say fucking the thing Shannon Moore does is about the same thing as being gay, because he's being a pig. But I don't know. I just think that's a retarded opinion to have. You know, I think being gay is a little bit different than I decided to go get a tattoo and now people don't like it. Fucking shut up. So anyway, I think that's all the WWE talk I got. I'm going to take a break. I got a ton more topics. I try to blaze through some of this as fast as I could. Well, maybe not as fast as I could, but, you know. Anyway, it's like some kind of accent. This Kendrick Lamar guy, he kind of – I came in way late on this, and he had some kind of verse on a track or something, and, you know, I heard it, and it was a right verse. But he really, like, went in over his head and started calling everybody out and stuff like that. And I'm fine with people calling Drake whatever the fuck they want to call Drake. Obviously, the music artist, not Drake Younger. Fucking whatever. But to call people out and start calling yourself King of New York and this and this and this, you're putting a target on your head. You're calling everybody out like you're the shit, and you're the shot caller. You're gonna fucking put people on blast and this and this, and you know some people took a little harshly to it. And one person to put him in his motherfucking place, I'll play this one first. That's Cassidy. So I'm gonna play this joint from Cassidy. And I'll be back in about 6 minutes.
Same thing that make you laugh, you gon' be crying from. Laugh now, cry later, but your time will come. And if you live by the gun, you could die from one. Even a deer could run the jungle till the lion come. If you make a living off the shit that niggas dying from, you gon' get guap until the cops with the sirens come. Now you gotta tell on a nigga that you buying from, or sit in prison for wild time for buying some. I speak the truth, these other niggas got a lion tongue. So if it's levels to this shit, I'm on the highest one. I know you guys gon' try to climb the ladder, but if you sit in jail or you die, don't even matter. Cats are backstabbing just to make their pockets fatter. That's why they pissing me off. I got a bad bladder. A rapper, not a character that blabber a bunch of words that rhyme, but don't make sense most of the time. And most of the lines that they rhyme is mostly designed for dudes that's stupid, not using most of their mind. Most crimes that's committed is by a cat that listen to a rapper spitting shit that's fictitious and try to mimic. Don't imitate a nigga that been a fakey a gimmick. They should put me in the Guinness, most punchlines infinite. And if I diss a cat in a rap, that nigga finish. I got in it to give niggas the business, not for the business. I'm highly recommended, but this shit is not exciting me. You wear tight clothes, but your flows ain't tight to me. I know you try, man, to find a man nice as me, but a blind man, like, damn, that'd be a sight to see. No one can stop me, I'm cocky and got the right to be. Hey, they should've never gave a mic to me. You would think big pun and big L goes right for me. And I could box, you do not wanna pick a fight with me. I'm not in the best shape like I would like to be, but I exercise every time I lift my pipe to pee. I know you would like to see me battle whoever, but that's like getting Mayweather to go and fight for free. That's not happening, I would rather stop rapping. I flip crack, now I spit crack, I ain't stop trapping. I'd rather get my money up front than on the back end. My balls been crazy, I'm Slim Shady with black skin. I got the battling belt. The hardest battle I done ever been in is when I battle myself. I hold weight, so don't make a giant battle with L for real. I'm trying to chill, I got a battle for health, I'm ill. And I feel like nephew a homosexual. Even if your flow is sick, I disinfect you. I'm special. If you plugged in, I disconnect you. I'm not gonna let you get disrespectful, I'm gonna dress you. I'm a mogul, I don't care if I know you or never met you. I suggest you don't come at me wrong or I'm gonna correct you. I hope you don't think that security gonna protect you, cause when them goons come in the room, they be done left you. I bet you, when me and them cats come, them cats run. Ruthless. My niggas get stupid if cats act dumb. You a lame, you putting my name in the rap, son. It's like putting a silencer on a cap gun. And why go and buy a chain when I can snatch one to get you jammed? Niggas like, damn, where you get that from? I jack son like Mahalia, I'm trying to tell ya. I F you up, don't let them set you up for a failure. I'm the hustler, but I don't touch drug paraphernalia. I just did a tour in Dubai and Australia. The boy the best, I'm the greatest. greatest ever, more or less. I'm just trying to figure out who the fuck I'ma slaughter next. I got my weight up, you better show some more respect before you pussies get ate up like oral sex. My balls crack, niggas trying to bring the balls back, but they balls whack. I'm like, where the fuck is the balls at? I'm tired of hearing all them jewelry and car rats, the making it rain and buying out the ball rats. I got hype when I heard that Kendrick Lamar rap. I'm in the booth in construction boots and a hard hat. I bring it back to life, these cats ain't acting right. These cats all rap alike, I never heard a rap I like. I snatch the mic, I'm a veteran, you a rookie. You a dickhead, but you a pussy, a hermaphrodite. Cast the type that'll send you to the afterlife, bring you back to life and kill you again with the raps I write.
Right.
Yeah, I used to play the corner like a traffic light, but I stopped trapping white so I could live a rapper life. But a rapper life ain't all it's cracked up to be. Ain't no rapper tough as me, that's why they don't fuck with me. They can label this a diss when the song drops, cause I'm better than your favorite rapper by a long shot. You gon' have to bring the song back when the song stop and rewind all the punchlines that this song got. I paint pictures, no Photoshop. I'm not the king of New York, but the king of New York know I'm hot. And no, I'm not trying to be the king of Philly, but I've been holding down my city. Just ask Gilly, really. If any of you niggas act silly, I'll be happy to compete. You see what happened to me, me. I'm not rapping to get back in the beef, I'm just rapping to be competitive. I do shit niggas never did. Yeah, this hip-hop getting recorded, so if you a fan of hip-hop, you gotta support it. Cause it's a shortage, your rappers rapping like they supposed to rhyme, and you would never find a rapper rapping rhymes dope as mine. Yeah, I'm the dopest nigga out, most focused nigga out, I spit coca out my mouth. And the streets need coca, it's a drought. The fans going through withdrawal, they need some sick balls. I got it jumping like Chris Cross when they was wearing all their clothes backwards. I expose rappers, yeah. I'm in my hip-hop bag, making every cat that say they hip-hop glad, yeah. And my wife like that shit hot cast, and she got a K. Michelle loving hip-hop ass, yeah. Every cat that's not hip-hop trash, and I'm ill, fish scale right out the Ziploc bag. Nobody better, I do whatever I wanna do. And since you scared to come at me, I'ma come at you. What the fuck is the game coming to? Kendrick couldn't shine on me on the song if he wanted to. Cause I spit that shit, nigga, number two. And I'm coming through to make it hot before the summer through.
There you go, some Cassidy. Killed it. Let me see. Devon Dudley and SoCal Val has been released from TNA. So I'd imagine you'll probably see at least Devon pop up in the WWE again, if that's the case. Kind of strange, you know, with Bubba being so heavily pushed and all that. But, you know, whatever. TJ Perkins actually signed a contract there, and apparently he's playing the suicide or whatever the fuck they're calling the suicide gimmick now, which is good because I've always liked TJP. I don't know about the suicide gimmick, but yeah, I like that dude. Riddick Bowe is apparently tweeting that he wants to get into the wrestling business and be a champion, and he's 46 years old, so good luck with that, Riddick. What else? The Necro injury. I actually got a chance to see the video. It was kind of like a fan cam video of what happened, and what the initial reports were that he was on the top rope and the top rope broke. That was not the case. There were no ropes on this ring. Whether the ropes broke earlier in the day or whatever the fuck happened, there were no ropes on the ring. He took kind of like the, you know, like the front flip bump or whatever you want to call it, to the outside. You know, kind of like a hip toss bump type thing. He took like that type of thing, you know, got thrown out of the ring towards that way, and he took that like that bump, and apparently there was a chair that was standing up over there. I would imagine he didn't see the chair or what have you, and the way it caught his leg, it just fucked his shit up. So a little bit different than, you know, what I initially, you know, had thought and said and stuff like that. I still think that the clown should be taking care of him. However, you know, I mean, accidents do happen, and it is, it was a little different, you know what I mean? But yeah, it looked bad. I mean, the way the blood was coming out of there and shit, and the dude still, you know, speaking of the fucking dislocated finger, he still got back in the ring and, he took the pin, you know, so a dislocated finger looked like some bitch shit during that match. You know, and it's Necro. I mean, he is just one of the baddest dudes out. He was posting pretty angrily yesterday, the day before, that he people need to stop like pulling him off of bookings. He's like, I'll be fine in 2 weeks. Like, stop fucking, like, I can't afford for you guys to be pulling me off your shows and shit like this. Like, I'm fine. It was just, said some shit like I stubbed my toe at the fucking Juggalo show or something like that, because he's just a bad motherfucker. But yeah, I mean, I can understand that, you know, he can't afford to be losing these bookings, and as long as he wants to do them, and it's going to be what it's going to be. But yeah, man, that's, this shows his incredible toughness. And yeah, if you see the video, it's up there, like the fan cam version. I think it's actually on his wall. And someone posted up there. It's pretty gruesome, as far as, you know, you could definitely tell that it's deep as hell. And yeah, I don't even know, like, exactly, because the chair, the shot is kind of like from the diagonal side of the ring, so it's not like a, you know, a direct shot on his impact on the chair, but you can see that he went over and immediately grabbed his leg, and that the chair was there. You really couldn't see, like, the exact impact to where it hit. I don't know if they taped their shit or whatever. You know, for as much money as they have, you would think that they would have some kind of national distribution, or, like, at least, like, large production DVDs that are out and sold and stuff like that. I don't know that they necessarily do. I mean, I'll look a little further into it, but I don't know. Like, you would figure they would have, like, the best production on fucking DVD quality wrestling that they put on and all that. You would think, but I don't know. I guess money spent or money spent. But it's just one of those things that, like I said, not every owners of the companies have the millions and millions of dollars that those guys do. So you would kind of expect some kind of stepped up, you know, care for the wrestlers or production quality or something. But I don't really know exactly how that works. I'm surely not in that position. So there's that. What else? Randomly, I've mentioned my fish a couple times. The fish in my African cichlid tank apparently had babies. And what happens in this situation is, which I never really knew too much about because I never had to encounter it before, is, like, the female will lay the eggs and then scoop the eggs up in its mouth and let them, like, hatch and shit and fucking stay in their mouths while they're small and, like, tiny babies and eggs and shit. So they'll carry it around, and for a couple weeks, they'll fucking swim around the tank with these other aggressive fish, and normally they're one of the aggressive fish. And not only will they not eat for the two or three weeks that it takes for these babies to be ready to come out of their mouth, they're swimming around trying to avoid shit, but they're getting tagged up by these other aggressive fish in there because they can't really fend for themselves. They can't spin around and nip anything back. So a lot of these fish take advantage of that, you know, and they tag them up. So it's kind of crazy. And you think about it, you know, this fish is, you know, has its babies and it's fucking swimming around with a fucking mouth full of babies and just fucking won't eat. I'm obviously going to be hungry. I mean, the way that these cichlids go after the pellets and shit when you throw it in there, it's fucking crazy. They're super aggressive. They move like fucking lightning to go get these pellets. And fucking fish is just sitting there. It kind of lunges a little bit, like, damn, I want to eat that, but that ain't happening. It was fucking just babies in my mouth for like a couple of weeks. So, you know, do the math on that between that and the pregnant woman who will tell you, you know, any given time of the day that they need a specific type of ice cream right away. I mean, you know, these human pregnant women need to step their game up, be more like fish. Because, no, These fish will go weeks without eating to protect their kids. You know? I feel like the humans are a little more needy than that. I don't know. Step your game up. Be a fish. So anyway, last night I noticed it was like fucking 12:30 or something. I was like, let me check on this fish because the fish just hasn't been looking that great because, again, like I said, it hasn't eaten in 2 weeks and, you know, getting tagged up and, you know, it's missing a bunch of its fin and stuff because that's like the first thing they nip at is the fins. And the fins will grow back and stuff, but in the meantime, you know, it's all fucking chewed up. So I'm looking, I'm like, oh man, this fish doesn't look so good. And I found it was behind the one piece of driftwood, and it was kind of like facing upwards, like that's it could very well be dead, you know. So when I moved the driftwood, it swam out a little bit, and I kind of like cup it in my hand so I could look at it a little closer, like up against the glass. So when I did that, I noticed that like it didn't have that bulge in its mouth anymore, like it didn't have the eggs and shit in its mouth. So as I noticed that, out of the corner of my eye, I see fucking little baby swimming on the fucking left end of the tank, and then I look at the right and I see a little baby swimming on that fucking corner of the tank, and I'm like, oh shit. So now I got these little fucking baby African cichlids in my tank, which is cool as hell. Like, I've never seen anything like this. And because these fish are so aggressive and shit, they just got to fucking hide for their lives. And from what I hear, they're really crafty, and they do find a way to make it. I have a bunch of coral, like Kupang rock stuff in there. So they have a lot of little areas to move and hide and shit. I got this big dragon decoration that they could actually go inside that no other fish could go in. So they definitely have a shitload of hiding spots. If they get, you know, big enough or whatever, I'm going to try to keep one. That way I could have, like, a fish that was born in my tank. That's pretty cool. And then outside of that, I'll give them away to, like, pet stores and shit because I can't, like, overcrowd my tank and I don't have, like, extra tanks or any bullshit like that. So, but it's pretty cool. Like, I've never seen that type of thing happen. The fucking fish carrying around the fucking eggs and babies and then, you know, spit them out. Now you got the babies all in the tank and fucking, they do a great fucking job. I mean, it's only the second day I've seen them, but they do a great job of fucking hiding out and doing what they got to do. It's pretty cool shit, random, but, you know. Pretty cool shit. Miley Cyrus at the VMAs. This is a, you know, big fucking topic. Everybody's fucking bugging out. If, you know, anyone's friends with Nina on Facebook, they probably blocked her fucking her status updates or fucking defriended her at this point after the VMAs on Sundays. People complained about my 49er updates, and she trumped that by 5 times. And, you know. So that is what that is. But, yeah, everybody's got reaction on the Miley Cyrus VMAs thing. People are weighing in. You know, some people are saying, well, you know, it's no different than what Britney's done and with Christina Aguilera and this one and that one. The reason why I think it's different is because her target audience and her average age of her fans are 14. That's not necessarily because even Britney, when Britney was the young Britney and just came out and still a kind of portraying a schoolgirl, she was selling sex right out of the door. Like, she really wasn't like as much a like fucking like kid star on the Disney Channel. And I think she did some old fucking Mouse Club shit or whatever the fuck way back. I don't even know. But, that really wasn't, like, her musical target. When she came out, she was pretty much selling sex from the fucking door. You know, it wasn't really a big secret on how she was fucking doing it. But this girl was fucking Hannah Montana fucking 2 years ago. 2 fucking years ago, her show wrapped up from the fucking Disney Channel, fucking Hannah Montana show, 2011. Two years later, 2013, she's trying to fucking twerk on fucking Robin Thicke and fucking got her ass cheeks hanging out of her thing. And, I mean, in somewhat of defense of that, she just picked the wrong fucking size. That shit, like, didn't fucking fit her. You know, like, people are commenting on the pieces of ass that fucking squirted out of the sides of that thing, but, like, that fucking chick picked the wrong fucking size altogether. It was kind of retarded on her end. I think everything she was doing looked retarded, but her outfits and just their whole fucking thing, trying to be Michael Jordan for her whole fucking thing. I was watching the 49ers, you know, I one of those fucking straight guys that don't watch fucking the VMAs when my fucking football team's on TV. But, you know, I saw all the pictures and the memes are hilarious. But, yeah, she's fucking hanging her tongue out all over the place and trying to, like, fucking rub her fucking, you know. And I just think that's the reason why it's kind of fucking tasteless on her end, because, you know, she was fucking Hannah Montana 2 years ago. Now she's trying to turn into some kind of sexual object and shit like that. I guess do what you're going to do, but you're not going to get good criticism out of people who have, you know, kids. Many, many people have kids, including my own, that, you know, she was a Hannah Montana fan. And, you go from that to fucking make sure you know, make sure the kid doesn't watch what the fuck Miley's doing now, because she's a fucking slutbag. I did call this, though. I definitely did call this while she was on still on the Disney Channel. I'm like, oh, she's a fucking slut in training. You watch what happens with her. And they're like, you know, stop. Don't say that. Stop. Fucking stop. Mary Jane likes her. I'm like, yeah, I get it. You fucking watch what happens with this one. Filthy little animal. Sure enough. So this is, you know, what it is. But, you know, she's getting her reactions. She's getting tons of buzz. She's getting tons of hits. She's getting tons of whatever the fuck attention that she wanted. She did exactly what she wanted. It's not like someone fucking drugged her and dressed her in something stupid and sent her out there. She fucking dressed herself in something stupid and went out there. She might have drugged herself, too, for all I know. I don't know. But, you know, she's just another one of these douchebag kids, her and fucking Justin Bieber and all these assholes that just don't have any type of respect. They don't have anything that's going to, you know, be actual role models. They don't have, I mean, her fucking father is the asshole that sung fucking Achy Breaky Heart with a fucking mullet. What fucking role model do you think she's got? She's a fucking idiot. So her parents are fucking idiots. So what do you expect her to be? So it kind of is what it is there. Just fucking keep your kids clear of these fucking little breeding fucking idiots, because it is what it is, you know? The fucking Larry the Cable Guy has some kids. Don't fucking have your kids follow their career. Or, you know, the fucking Duck Dynasty fucking people, or the Turtle Man has a couple kids. Don't fucking send fucking your kids out to buy its book bag, because eventually, you know, they're going to be keeping fucking all sorts of shit in that book bag you don't want to know about. So anyway, some fucking pants that don't fit them, fucking something to lick with their stupid tongue that they're hanging out of their face, whatever. So that's that. Bola is coming up, I believe, next weekend or this weekend. Shit, I think it's this weekend. So that's going to be a big fucking show. I look forward to the DVD. Wish it was an iPay-per-view. I can't say that enough. Definitely, if you're in California, I think Reseda area, check out the Best of LA. Just fantastic stuff. They, in my opinion, put on the best indie shows out. Let me see what else. What else do I got? All right. Let me take another quick break, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to run through some NFL stuff and maybe a couple other things. And then I'll get out of here, because I, you know, trying to keep it. Well, yeah, I'll try to keep it around 2 hours. We'll see what goes on. So here's another guy that took offense to Kendrick Lamar's bullshit. And, you know, Joel Ortiz put it on him.
Funk Master Flex Night.
Funk Master Flex. Funk Master Flex. Funk Master Flex.
1-2-1-2. Yeah, I knew I wasn't gonna stay quiet. I ain't even gotta give it too much thought. Joel Ortiz won every war that he ever fought. This ain't no different, I'm listening. You the king of New York, little homie. You ain't the king of New York, you the next thing on my fork. The messenger with all them rings on that horse, carrying king's head till I kick you in your chest and you cough and fall into a bottomless pit, homie. You know how many bodies that fit?
When we met, you said it's an honor, man, the y'all can spit. Maybe that's why you left me out of that shit. Maybe that's why the slaughterhouse ain't get dissed. Or maybe I'm not on your radar. You feel you ain't got to acknowledge my clip. Either way, I personal train this beat. It gotta get ripped. You rich rappers can't respond with all the dollars you get. Gangster rappers can't retaliate with hollows and clips. And you fashion rappers with the kind of jeans that hardly can zip. So zip it, I got this shit. Real hip-hop in this bitch. The apocalypse has fell upon us. Watch the zombies, I split. The walking dead, I've been a monster. Shorty, I can get bit and never turn. I'm immune to these rappers y'all calling sick. I stomp the red carpet hole in my dick and throw tomatoes at the podium for whack awards that y'all niggas get. Then stand up and scream, yeah, I would and dip and smack a legend on the way out of that bitch. Cause I don't big up the elite. The elite can get it too. Y'all all fit under my feet. Y'all all victims, all chitlins when a nigga trying to eat. I'll see to it, y'all all missing like a wino nigga teeth. Anybody could get it. Old nigga, new nigga, him nigga, you nigga, one nigga, two niggas, a few niggas, I do niggas harm with these bars. It was brave, you took a chance like Monopoly cards. But that telly you trying to check in, boy, that property's ours. Can't get a W on Broadway, I'm New York all day. Yeah, that's where the bars stay. You know, hear that OAA, 100 Ricans running at you cheap like a Koye. Last time in Compton, I was kicking it with Jorge. I rock with some cons out west like the Boyer. But I don't claim king, even though my name ring. And I had China in the bay we call Beijing. Rodeo to Dago, they telling you the same thing. Chico be in Sacramento so much he can claim king. But that's the West Coast, I'm from this coast. I leave the king of L.A. to Dre, I was this close to staying aftermath, but lamped out like a genie. But Dre, you a fucking gangster and Curtis, you such a sweetie. And guess what, I'm a free agent again if y'all ever need me. But back to these bars, I'm hungry, this beat is gon' feed the needy. I lookin' like Granny Ziti, zucchini out in Tahiti or Fiji. With Erykah Badu's booty in a bikini. Your main chick is a precious, my side chick is a riri. I fuck it and take out for fries and a panini. I ain't a rap nigga, I'm a nigga that rap. Before this, yep. Sort of cipher, I ain't bringing that back. Why should I recycle bars when my mind is a flight to Mars? And the force that I come across is like rhyming inside a star with the universe on my back. Your human verses is whack. I grab my extraterrestrial testicles when I rap and tell the earth, suck it. Tell the planet, try it. I turn this bitch to Independence Day without the lucky drunk pilot. I love competition, constructing a composition of destruction, putting destructive cons in a composition. I'm Optimus Prime, trucking your boulevard, just wishing that a star screen so I can go on a bombing mission. You raise the bar high, I set the bar higher. You gonna learn no inferno scorch a bonfire.
Nasty. So yeah, so I think what I want to do, oh, by the way, I read earlier today, I'm really delighted by it, because all these jerk-offs with the fucking electronic cigarettes and shit that I've been mentioning about, I just read this. A new study from National Consumer Institute in France showed that e-cigarettes are likely to be at least as harmful to a person's health and still can cause cancer. In fact, they may be even more harmful because of unknown chemicals which are added to the nicotine solution. Fantastic. Keep them fucking battery-operated cigarettes going, you douchebags. Hope you get fucking... I'm telling you, I want some mutant shit to come out of these fucking assholes that cop out and fucking, I stopped smoking fucking 6 weeks ago. Fucking just got the little blue light attached to their fucking stupid head. Fucking keep sucking on that thing. I'm sure that chemically fucking liquid-based fucking nicotine is just perfectly healthy because it's not smoke, it's vapor. Your fucking your head is full of fucking vapor. Your fucking brain is vapor, you stupid bastards. Keep sucking on that fucking thing. I can't wait for the fucking people to start dropping. Fucking weak-minded douchebags that are, I quit cigarettes, now I just do this. This untested fucking... Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, the NFL is starting up on Thursday. I could not be more excited. Obviously not tomorrow, a week from tomorrow. And it'll be the Ravens and the Broncos opening up on Thursday night football, and then Sunday we'll start off the Sunday football thing. We start off against the Green Bay Packers. So I'm going to give my whole rundown and do the whole picks with the point spreads and all that shit on Wednesday's show. Also, you know, on the non-football topic, Wednesday show, I think I might have a pretty big guest. I reached out to him, and I believe I should be able to line it up for next Wednesday. And I'm going to have former CZW World Heavyweight Champion, the Messiah, hopefully Wednesday. And that'll be in addition to all the other things I have to talk about. And as I said, I will be doing my my point spread picks and all that stuff starting next week on Wednesday. But what I wanted to do, at least this week, is do a little bit of a rundown on what I think about the teams and the divisions and what I just random predictions, not random, but my predictions from what I see them now, and, you know, just see how it goes. I said I was going to check back on this last year and how I thought and have it, but it's probably not going to happen. But anyway, I'll just put, you know, my feelings on things out there. Let's start off with the NFC East. The NFC East, you got the Washington Redskins, the New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys, and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles ended last season in the basement at 4-12. I believe the Philadelphia Eagles are going to remain in the basement. However, I do think that they will gain probably 2 to 3 wins on that, putting them at maybe like 6-10. I could see them going 6-10. Vic has a lot to prove. They're under a new coach. It wouldn't surprise me if they ended up with the same record, but I'm going to give them maybe 2 more wins just because this is kind of like make it or break it. They just went with a new coach. Vic had to fight for his job and this and that, so he's going to be running like a fucking one of his dogs that escaped or some shit. Like he's going to be running for his fucking life. He's already made statements saying that, like, he's going to be a running threat again. He's going to do a lot more running and shit like that, which a quarterback should never fucking come out and say. That's the most ridiculous thing a quarterback could say. But it's going to be a lot of fun to watch because he used to be a really exciting running quarterback. And the defensive side of the NFL, for the most part, has tried to kill him since he's come back from this dog thing. So the fact that he's going to be in open field running around and telling people that's what he's going to be doing, good luck with that. He's going to get his fucking spine split in half, which is – I can't wait to see. So I would say the Eagles remain in the bottom of that that division again. I honestly think that the division is going to end the season the same way it ended the season last year. I think Dallas is still going to be a shaky team, really not too far improved. I'm not going to go into too much as far as what you know, draft picks and stuff like that, because I'm not a huge college fan. So if there was some kind of prodigy drafted that, you know, we're going to look at and say, well, this is going to be the big difference, it's probably going to be a year or two before that big difference happens. So I'd say the Dallas stays like a mediocre team. They were 8-8 last year. Again, you know, 8-8, 7-9, 9-7, somewhere in that general area. And I think 9-7 would be generous. The New York Giants were above that at 9-7. They're going to have a hard time. Those games, no matter what, Philadelphia, Dallas, Giants, Washington, are always scrappy. So to make it out of your, you know, I mean, everybody, all right, their division last year, the Redskins were 5-1 divisional. Giants were 3-3 divisional. Dallas was 3-3 divisional. And Philly was 1-5 divisional. So other than Philly, who really didn't have a lot of competition to do, and Washington being pretty dominant, the rest, you know, the other two guys were split. So it just kind of shows, like, the rivalries with those guys, it's not clear cut. They're always battling. You could have the Philadelphia Eagles beat the top, you know, Washington Redskins any given week, because they always have those battle out, you know, scrappy games. So, I mean, to make it out of that division, if your team's a little shaky the way it's been, and I don't think the Giants have improved. I really don't. I don't think they've done anything to improve. And the Washington Redskins are an up-and-coming team. They still have a lot of possibilities to do more than they've done. RG3 is actually due back week one to start off the season, and I believe they're playing – should I just have this schedule right on this fucking iPad, and then I – didn't touch it for too long, so it went off. They're playing Philadelphia on Monday Night Football at Washington. So you have, you know, you have him starting out the season at a weak Philadelphia defense, and see what RG3 does and if he lights it up coming right out of the gates. I would think he's going to be more lenient, or not lenient, more hesitant to run the way he was last season after getting broken the fuck up. So we'll see what RG3's game does. I mean, it may change. I mean, sophomore season, a lot can happen. A whole lot can happen, especially after a big surgery coming off of your rookie season. He's a fucking tremendous player, but that's a big transition to go through, especially only second year in. So we'll have to see. But if RG3 plays the way that RG3 is capable of, I think Washington's going to win that division again. And, you know, whatever that takes to do so, you know, whether it be the 10-6 they finish in, maybe 11-5, you know, that type of thing. NFC North, you got Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, and Detroit. Green Bay finished out top last year. I think there's a good possibility that Minnesota takes that top spot. If Adrian Peterson continues to run the ball the way that he does and the way that he's been doing and what he did last year, the dude is just, I mean, the stuff he talks about, the records he wants to hit and what he thinks is possible. The entire team revolves around Adrian Peterson, but if Adrian Peterson runs the way that he's capable of running and that team is able to gel around him the way that they should, because with that running game opening up, your passing game immediately gets better. Joe Webb has, you know, decided to definitely just fall back on being a wide receiver, because clearly when Christian Ponder went out, he proved to have zero passing ability. So he's actually done pretty well as a wide receiver. So they got him over there now. You know, I guess we'll have to see what goes on there. But I got Minnesota taking that division, and, you know, Green Bay falling in second to that. I could see Detroit ousting Chicago in the third spot, surprisingly, and Chicago actually taking the basement in that division. I'm not even going to go with numbers the whole way. Just placement. And, that's how I see it. And we start out the season against Green Bay. Another big, big thing that happened too is one of their offensive linemen, which is Aaron Rodgers' blind side, went out. I think he tore his ACL, so he's fucking gone. That guy's out. They had to shift around their whole offensive line, which could really, really make, that offensive line susceptible to a pass rush. So if, you know, Aaron Rodgers gets rattled and he's susceptible to all the pass rushing that's possible from all the other defensive teams, and starting out with the San Francisco 49ers with one of the best pass rushers in the league, with Aldon Smith back there, was going for the sack record. He was so close to the sack record and didn't have a sack for the last six games of the season. So you just imagine if he has that stride and does what he's capable of doing. I mean, him and Justin Smith. And, I mean, there's just so much on our defense that's going to be coming dead at Aaron Rodgers. And with that blind side open, or not, you know, open, but to have to shift around to protect that, that could actually be a nagging problem with them all season. You get in Aaron Rodgers' face and you know, really cause problems for him, that team is not going to be the same without a functional Aaron Rodgers. So I think that's actually a big factor. And Adrian Peterson is just the best running back in the league. So I think Minnesota pushes out forward. I think Detroit, like I said, is going to be a surprise three spot in that division. And Chicago, who is now, you know, switched gears without their coach. You know, they got rid of their coach. Brian Urlacher is gone. And now it's the leader of their defense. I think a lot of those things are going to be an issue. And Chicago is going to drop to the basement this year in that division. The NFC South, you got Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay. Atlanta showed up pretty well last year. I don't know that they're going to take the top seed in this division, or, you know, I don't know if they're going to take the top spot. I think they're going to be in tough competition. This division should actually be pretty dicey this year. Tampa Bay has made tremendous moves. I expect them to actually contend for a playoff spot. I'd say wild card, but I expect them to contend for a playoff spot in the NFC. You figure they had the things going on. I don't know if Josh Freeman is the truth. I know I was told that 2 years ago before we beat the living shit out of the Bucks, and the Bucks just fucking lost their heart and will to live after we did that to them. But, you know, I don't know if he's the truth like that. I know their running game is solid. They definitely have some things going on there. I mean, the defense, though, you know, pretty stout run defense. And then on top of that, to add Darrell Revis, to add Deshaun Goldson, I mean, you got problems there. I mean, it's going to be hard to throw the ball against those guys. Their weakest point has been filled to the capacity. I mean, what you see that they needed and what they went out and got, they got big, big fucking holes filled. And I think they're going to be contenders. I don't know about, you know, taking that division. I don't know. Atlanta's going to continue to have problems with their defense collapsing like that. I don't think Matt Ryan is clutch. But, you know, they do have some possibilities to do things and, you know, head back towards that top spot. Cam Newton with Carolina, I have a big problem with this guy. He's very, very talented. I think his attitude's horrible. I don't think that he has the leadership ability or consistency to drive his team to the top of that division. I really don't. I think you're going to see fireworks out of the guy. You know, they went in there, they won 7 games, lost 9 last season. So you'll have those, you know, 7-8 games where he looks good or, you know, they come through. But I don't know if it's going to be consistent enough to be contenders in that division. I just don't. The Carolina Panthers are a very, very tough team to, you know, to call until you get some kind of consistency at quarterback. You know, you go from, you know, 400-yard game to, you know, pretty much nothing and 4 interceptions. And, you know, it's a very big swinging pendulum as far as what goes on there. New Orleans is a team that can go a couple different ways. They're kind of in a rebuilding process just because they were a year without their head coach that was kind of the glue to their team. Now, he's back full force. You got Drew Brees being Drew Brees, and I kind of think they need to find their sink. I think they're going to have a lot of struggles in the first half of the season. Maybe they'll be able to pull it together and fight for that top spot. Maybe we'll really have to see how Atlanta starts out. If Atlanta starts out weak, it's really going to open up the possibilities of Tampa Bay or New Orleans having a strong second half and, or, you know, or coming out of the gate strong and, you know, making that, you know, fight for that spot. But I think that has a lot to do with what's going to go on there. The NFC West, I think everybody knows where I go there. Everybody knows. What do you say? You know, there's obviously, we went to the NFC Championship 2 years ago, lost. We went to the Super Bowl last year, lost. There's no further we can go but winning it. So obviously, winning the NFC West will be
San Francisco.
You're motherfucking right. We added a bunch of things this year. We're so deep at running back, it's retarded. You know, Frank Gore, one of the best running backs in the league. We have, oh, Jesus Christ. We have, what the fuck is the dude's name out of college? Jesus Christ, I'm horrible with names. Especially when I get on a roll and I forget half the shit I'm thinking about. Marcus Lattimore. Marcus Lattimore is a guy who had an injury that more or less is reminiscent of what Frank Gore went through before he got into the NFL. He's a guy that would have been, from what I hear, possibly a number one draft pick, barring that injury. At a time, was the best running back in college. We have that guy sitting on our roster chilling, just completely not even needed to play this year. This guy could rest his whole fucking year and just learn. Just learn the offense, learn everything, and come out next year. Maybe show up in the playoffs. Maybe show up, you know what I mean, and do crazy shit because he's so fucking talented. Now, beyond that, you got LaMichael James doing his – he's got lightning-fast speed out of the backfield. He's got very, very good ability. Him and Frank Gore have really, really teamed up to be a really great 1-2 punch. But you forget that earlier in last season, Kendall Hunter was that 1-2 punch with Frank Gore. You got Kendall Hunter wanting his 2 spot back. LaMichael James keeping his fucking game up. So you got LaMichael James, Kendall Hunter, and Frank Gore at fucking 3 running backs that you can interchange in that fucking game. Beast. Absolute beast. It's hard to come up with 3 running backs that are that good on the same team. And then also have a 4th one waiting in the wings that can easily be as good as one of these guys in the future. I mean, it's not too much more you could ask for. I love Eric Reed. Eric Reed, the safety came out of LSU as a guy who had to fill the shoes of Deshaun Goldson, who I absolutely love. The dude would put on hits on people like nothing else. Eric Reed has tremendous passion for the game. He fits right in as a 49er, and he's just – I mean, he's just a go-get-em dude. When we were playing, when we were about to play Minnesota last week, he did an interview or something. He had said, "Man, if I could just get one like solo tackle on Adrian Peterson," he's like, "that would be such a dream." He's like, "I'd put that shit on. I'd have, you know, whatever, whoever took the picture, I'd posterize it. I'd put it on my wall. That'd be like an accomplishment forever. Like to be able to tackle that dude, to, you know." One of the best running backs to ever play the game. Obviously, Adrian Peterson took two plays in the backfield. They didn't run the ball. They don't want to risk anything with that dude, and I don't blame him. Coming off of surgery last season, he didn't even play the preseason, I don't think. And so why bother fucking with it? And but, I mean, the dude is just – he's on fire, and he's going to be – really, really good for us. I think he's going to fill the spot completely perfect. They named him as a starter already. So any of that other safety shit that they wanted to fill in, fuck that. We got that dude back there. He's fucking solid. Nnamdi Asamoah has really impressed me as far as I'm concerned. Any doubts I had about the dude, at least for right now, you know, I'll reserve, you know, judgment for like midseason or some shit like that. But from what I've seen out of him in the preseason, the dude's laid on some big hits. He hasn't gotten smoked anywhere. I think the dude is going to be good for us. I really do. The weight isn't on his shoulders to be the guy, the only guy, the defense saving guy, like that guy. Yeah, that's what I think the Eagles wanted him to do, and it just got fucking tiring, and the dude was just getting burnt running up and down the field. Our defense is so fucking stout that, I mean, you're not just fucking, relying on that dude. We actually cut Lawrence Okoye. He was a dude who's like fucking 290, fucking 6'7", or some crazy shit like that. He was like a discus thrower from like the UK, like world champion discus thrower. And I was hoping they made something out of him, but he was a guy who never even played football, and they were trying to like teach him how to play football. They had to cut the roster by like at least 10, 15 people, and he was one of the dudes that got cut. So, you know, a team as good as ours, you really can't sit around and wait for someone to learn how to play football. It sounds like a fantastic idea, and I was pulling for the guy because the dude's a beast. And if you did get him into the system, he could be a fucking phenom. Who knows? But he could be a flop, too. So they cut bait on him and just said, fuck it. And I mean, and I don't blame him. But, yeah, I'm super, super excited for my team. Obviously, you know, Michael Crabtree is going to be back in November. Jesus Christ. I completely lost my train of thought. Crabtree will be back in, I think, November, and that's what's up, man. We'll have our solid wide receivers back well before playoffs. and Manningham will be back in October. So, yeah, we'll be straight. Anquan Boldin is going to really fill in a lot of spots. And the thing is about having all these other wide receivers that are trying to earn their jobs and stuff, they know there's no room for error. So it's not really a matter of like someone just getting comfortable under contract because it's the best we have. They know that there's better players showing back up in the month of October and November. So their shot at winning a job or even solidifying future job opportunities completely consists off of them playing well right now. So I expect big things out of them. Seattle, obviously, you're looking at them with the 2 slot. Big rivalry of ours. It's going to continue to be that. We'll see how Russell Wilson performs. We'll see. You know, you could definitely get hit with that sophomore shit. You could definitely get hit with that. So, you know, everybody's so quick to just put them on our level. You know, they got Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin fucked himself up right away. So, that you know, people were immediately calling fucking Percy Harvin a better move than the Anquan Boldin move. Well, before fucking preseason happened, guess who's fucking hurt? Percy Harvin. So, you know, that's a shame. That's just too bad. And they had all their PED problems and all that. So it is what it is. But, you know, fuck Seattle. And we'll see them week 2, Sunday Night Football on my motherfucking TV. So, but they'll probably take the 2 spot and probably a wild card. So my outside picks, as I said, for the wild card is I'd say probably Tampa Bay and Seattle. We'll see, though. If Josh Freeman could fuck that whole shit up for them. Maybe not completely based on his shoulders, but if that passing game doesn't come together, then I don't give a fuck what their defense does. So that's that. St. Louis, not really too impressed with them, or Arizona for that matter. They're the 2 basement teams in that. I think we definitely got to get 2 wins back off of them motherfuckers, because St. Louis had our fucking number last year. We tied with them once, and then we got beat by them once. You know, we were the fucking NFC champions and couldn't make it past the St. Louis Rams. They just, for whatever reason, kind of had our number. But they ended the season 7-8-1, nothing dynamic, and it is what it is. AFC East, New England and Miami and the Jets and Buffalo. The Jets are fucking horrendous. They're going to stay horrendous. Sanchez is fucking getting banged up already. Geno Smith is already throwing fucking interceptions like wildfire. The Jets are just a sad state of affairs. It's going to continue to be that. Buffalo, I think, should do a little better than them. I'd probably put the Jets in the basement this year. And I'd honestly would not be surprised to see Miami battling New England for the top spot in this division this year. It would be a surprise. I think Tannehill could have a good year. New England's going to be on kind of wobbly legs. Aaron Hernandez kills people. Wes Welker is gone. Tom Brady's going to be Tom Brady. But, having said that, I mean, what else are they really relying on? Their defense wasn't all that great last year. I think it was last year they got beat by Arizona. They had a lot of weakness sticking out there. And on top of that, you lose some of the top targets for Tom Brady. And it could really be exploited. And you got a lot of young stuff going on in Miami. They signed top receiver, I think Wallace. I want to say Wallace. Name's escaping me. But, they spent a shitload of money on receivers. And, if Tannehill can go out there and throw fucking balls and keep it going, Miami could be a contender. I mean, the Jets and Buffalo are pretty much out of the way. I can't see that they're going to make too many fucking waves to contend the top spot. So it's pretty much a one-on-one run between Miami and New England, who has a lot to recover and continue from. Obviously, Belichick's no joke, so he's not gonna be a crushed man if, fucking guy's not there anymore. So, we'll see how it turns out. New England's always a contender, so at the very least, they're going to contend for the spot. So, until Tom Brady's not their quarterback. That's them. Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. This is really rough. Really, really rough. Baltimore is not going to be as good as they were last year. They're not. Their defensive identity, he's gone. They paid all the fucking money to Joe Flacco. They let a lot of fucking people go. I don't think they're going to be a stellar team. I just don't. I don't think they win that division, quite honestly. Cincinnati can make a run. If they could pull their stuff together and not be as, on and off as they were last year. They went 3-3 in the division. Home games, they went 4-4 Cincinnati. If they could be a little stronger at home, they were 6-2 on the road. They could, solid up at home a little bit. They could be sitting right up top there. I kept saying it last year. Cleveland was not far off. They ended the season 5-11. So by those standards, you'd go, wow, yeah, they're fucking horrible. But they played a lot of scrappy games. A lot of fucking scrappy games. They ended the season losing 3 in a row. So minus those, 3 in a row, you kind of lose your hope towards the end. And, you're talking draft picks. And, not that they just straight through the game, but you're not really striving for fucking, the top at that point. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them even wind up more of an 8-8 team. Not saying that they might necessarily make the playoffs or anything, but at least a mid-caliber, like an 8-8, maybe even a 9-7, and maybe, on the outside looking in type team. I don't know about, getting anywhere near, Baltimore is probably going to take a wild card if they don't take the division. Pittsburgh, I really think, is on a severe decline. I wouldn't be surprised to see Pittsburgh at the bottom of that division. I really, really wouldn't. I think Ben is just about done. He's not mobile like he was before, and he's horrible as a stand-and-throw quarterback. That game that we had him, and we banged him up, and he couldn't fucking – he had a bad wheel, really couldn't fucking run around, and just trying to be a stand-and-throw quarterback, he was a sitting duck. He just got destroyed. And through picks and everything else, he just wasn't – he's just not – unless he could be the big fucking strong fucking movable fucking quarterback, he's not any good. So that's my opinion there. Houston, Indianapolis, Tennessee, and Jacksonville. So you got Tennessee and Jacksonville sitting down the bottom again. Jacksonville might actually pull out more wins than Tennessee does this year. And Houston, Indy, that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I would kind of expect Indianapolis to come off of their, first-year quarterback and actually turn around and win that division. They're playing really good football. Houston's good. They have their weaknesses. And I really think that Indianapolis can end up besting them in that division. But, again, Houston, Indy, you're going to be looking at one of these teams that's going to be I think you're looking at a wild card team out of one of those for sure. And then you got your AFC West to close it out. You got Denver, San Diego, Oakland, and Kansas City. Denver – the Peyton Manning show is going to continue to roll. And you could pretty much expect these guys to win a division without being contested. However, I would absolutely not be surprised in the very least if the 2-14 Kansas City Chiefs took the number 2 spot in that division. Mark my words. They got Andy Reid over there. I know Andy Reid caught a lot of shit in the Eagles organization or whatever, but he consistently kept them pretty near the playoffs. So he knows what he's doing there. Alex Smith at quarterback is a very, very consistent quarterback. The guy is able to throw fucking well. I'll tell you what, fucking preseason or not, that Kansas City defense got back there and put a fucking a beating on our quarterbacks. You know, it was just preseason and we had backups in there and this and that, but regardless, fucking Kansas City's defense got back there. They got back there early and often, and they continue to do that type of thing. Alex Smith stays consistent. I'm pretty sure they got someone real high in the draft because I'm just about positive they had one of the – yeah, them in Jacksonville, I think, were the worst records in the league. So they must have got high, high fucking draft pick, whatever that was. And, which, again, I'm not a college guy, so I wouldn't know exactly what they got or exactly what that means. You know, it could just be an offensive lineman, which – completely, which I actually want to say, I'm not that fast with the computer to look it up while I'm talking, but I want to say that they did pick like a lineman or something, with only helps Alex that much more, protects the quarterback and gives him more time to be consistent and not make mistakes. So I think you're looking at a definitely upswing for Kansas City. Again, not a fucking world beater, not a fucking division winner, but I would not be surprised to see that team pull out a couple very, very surprising wins during the season. Completely underdog wins, teams you didn't expect them to beat, maybe even pull one from Denver. You know, Denver, Kansas City, you know, they've had some wars. And, you know, to pull some unexpected shit like that, would not be shocked. And, you know, Denver winning that division, though. Peyton Manning knows how to manage fucking beyond anything. So yeah, that's my feelings on that. I could not be more excited for NFL football, and I think I'm gonna call it at that. If you can listen to tomorrow, you can listen to Stern Nation is not on, I believe, but I think we'll have a pre-recorded show or something going on. But always check out Stern Nation. Check out Wrestling Soup. They'll be on tomorrow, as well as always. Let me see. I do believe I have their. Here's Wrestling.
Shut the fuck up if you will. But this is down. Joey Numbers has ruled. Thursday night.
Wrestling Soup.
There you go. Women Love Wrestling. Check them out, too. Go to their Facebook page. Check out what their latest episode is going on. I know I'm missing somebody. The Sports Den. Of course, the Sports Den is on right now. And you could finish listening to me here. Head over there and listen to them. And that's what's up there. I got to get a constant commercial from these dudes because I had Nick giving me commercials that were specific towards the week of what they were talking about and this and that. And then he you know, he doesn't have the time to do it and he doesn't get it. And I can't, you know, let me see. I don't even have one. Do I have one? Yeah. Well, okay. Let me just do this.
What's up, Yakuza Kick Radio fans? It's your boy, the big man, Nick Russell from the Sports Den. Let you know to check out our show every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, on the Universal Takeover Network, utnsports.com. On tonight's show, we got Ricardo the Bully Llama, Chicago.
I'll just cut it there because that's not what's on tonight, but it's at the link that he was talking about, so there you go. Maybe I'll either clip that or something. That motherfucker's going to make me a new one. All right, so there's that. Yolanda's on tomorrow night with the Shiznit. She's got, I don't know if it's tomorrow night, but she's going to have Andy Sumner on. It's a name I haven't heard in a while, you know? So definitely check that out. Check it all out. Check that shit out. So then next week, like I said, I'll be back. And if all goes well, I will be back with former CZW World Heavyweight Champion, the Messiah. So I will have that. Wow, I said that all fucking monster truckish. So, yeah, check it out next week, Wednesday, as always. It'll be one day before the football season starts off on Thursday Night Football, one day before my daughter turns 10. And, yeah, I'll have another update, another 5K in the books. More gym stuff, more stuff going on for sure. Again, you know, anybody out there want to do this fucking tough mudder with me in October, hit me up. I need a fucking team to put together. I'm taking this shit serious as fuck and going hard. And no homo. And I just want to get some people together to want to do this shit and push themselves and, you know, all walks of life, whatever. Let's do it. Either way, enough babbling. I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. Let me see where the fuck my outro's at. We'll go with this. All right, check y'all motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.